Me opening up to Galatians chapter 4. Again, the Holy Spirit didn't show me anything about tonight's service until just maybe 10 minutes before we left the house. I'm looking forward to the day when I'm mature enough where He can trust me to give me a little more warning than that. I really know why He doesn't right now. It's because if I have too much time to think about it, I'll mess it up. I'll start getting too much of Gary in it. That's not what he wants to do. And so when I saw this, then I got kind of excited about it. You know, we've been teaching, we've just been calling the messages here lately, the mind of Christ 1, the mind of Christ 2, the mind of Christ 3. Because there is a maturing process, and we're not supposed to be conformed to this world. We're supposed to be in the process more and more all the time, renewing our minds, renewing our emotions, renewing every part of us to conform to the mind of Christ. And the ultimate in that is what Paul says in his letter to the Philippians. At one point in that letter, he says, "For me to live is Christ." My, my, my. Now, if we could ever get to that place, now what that means is, if it was possible for you to step out of your body today and somehow the Lord Jesus be able to just step in like you'd loan Him your body for the day, what you saw Him doing all day, Paul says, is no different than what you're going to see me doing today. Because I've come to the place in my fellowship with Him that for me to live is Christ. How many of you think that's a mark worth pressing toward? So he's been teaching us about that and getting us to grow up and begin to think. I think we have done 6 messages on the mind of Christ. But then tonight, really during the day, every now and then, like a breeze coming from heaven, this phrase would come across my mind. And I know it's the Holy Spirit. I would hear this phrase, "You and the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit." See, because as we gain the mind of Christ, as we mature and grow up, as your thinking begins to conform to His thinking, then even your mind is going to begin to receive instructions from the head of the church. How many of you knows Jesus is alive and well? He intends for us to receive His present hour speaking, His present hour mind. Just like I used this example Sunday night at the Calling in the Lost, how quickly are we supposed to receive and react? Everyone hold out your hand. Just hold your hand up. Raise it up high. Put it to the right. Move your fingers. Pull your hand into your chest. Put your hand straight out. Lift it up high. Out to the right. You see how your hand is obeying your mind? You notice your hand doesn't have to go fast for 40 days in order to do it? We are the body of Christ. He is the head. And it's supposed to get to the place where our reaction is just to be that quick, that real. If our hand does not operate like that, we call it dis-ease. There is something wrong. There's, in our bodies, what brings the signal from the mind to the hand is called the nervous system. It's the nerves, the neural pathways. In God's kingdom, it's called the Holy Spirit. He is the one that brings, just exactly like your nervous system brings that communication. It's quicker than, hey, did you notice it's quicker than speech? Watch this. Watch my fingers. Look how fast. For benefit of the tape, I'm just wiggling them real fast. Now that's quicker than for index finger move, ring finger move, pinky finger move. I can do it a whole lot faster than I can say it. It's faster than the speed of thought. What if the body of Christ ever got hooked up with the head of the church on any kind of scale like that? Why do you think that analogy is in there? He is the head, we are the body. Well, as we gain the mind of Christ, as we begin to mature and grow up into all things, into Him, like it says in Ephesians, in order for Him to accomplish the Father's work in the earth, then your relationship with the Holy Spirit is going to change. You begin to think like Him. See, I mean, Jesus had His own mind. I mean, He was fully mature at age 30. But He'd never done a miracle. His whole life. He walked sinless. Now, that's a miracle. But see, that's the power of the new nature. That's the power of the new nature. He never opened a blind eye. He never opened a deaf ear. Never did any kind of... Never multiplied, turned water into wine or multiplied loaves and fishes or anything until something happened. What was it? Got baptized by the Holy Ghost when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John. There is a union between Christ and the Holy Spirit that causes the Father's will to be performed in the earth. From that day forward, his relationship with the Holy Spirit was different than it was before. He and the Holy Spirit, can I say it this way, co-labored on the earth. Jesus as the agent of authority, the Holy Spirit as the agent of power. The two of them working in perfect union with the mind, with his mind, brought the will, well, actually with the mind of the Father, brought the will of the Father to come to pass in every situation that he came upon. I was just reading again through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many of you know it's a good thing to read again through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Here he'd come in on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. Woman bowed over 18 years. And all the religious folks thinking it's not God's will to heal her. All of their religion brought them to the erroneous conclusion that somehow God would not want to heal that woman, not on church day, not on the Sabbath day. You got to watch religion, it'll make you crazy. It'll make you crazy. You got to know Jesus. You got to know the Father, and the only way to know Him is to see Jesus. Here he was. He says, it says something like this, and they were all sitting there waiting. And there was also the guy with the withered hand. It was more than once, you know. And they were all just sitting there waiting. I wonder if he's going to heal on the Sabbath day. You can always hear religion, you know. And he just look at him and say something like we'd say down in Pottawatomie County. Why, you bunch of hypocrites. If one of you had a cow that fell off in the ditch down there, you'd go down there and you'd get her out and you wouldn't wait till tomorrow. Now, you have more respect for your cow than you do this child of God. I like Jesus. He tells it straight. Anyway, so I was about 10 minutes before I left for the service. I understood what he was going to start talking about, you and the Holy Spirit, because as you develop the mind of Christ, get this, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is going to change. And then he brought again a vision, one that I had first had back in way back in 1998. And I printed it out right before we left the house. Now, it's based on this verse. Now, this is way back there. Even as I was reading this, I was going, my goodness, so much of this, you know, since then we have been down the born again trail. There's things in here that I wrote, I wrote them. I know I did, but my understanding of them was so minuscule. I look back and I read it now that we've all been down the born again trail and the understanding I have about who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. And just once more, it just shows me the benefit of praying a lot in other tongues. I mean, the Holy Spirit will become your teacher and He will get it across to you in a way that even you can understand it. Now, the verse that this is based on is this one, Galatians 4. Starting in verse 1, he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that, glory to God, we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen? But now that first verse, even though we know now we're an heir, it's all by grace. Isn't that right? But now remember, he just got through saying, any heir, as long as he's a child. You might be an heir, all right, but as long as you're a child, you're still under tutors and governors. You don't really differ a whole lot from a servant, even though by birthright, by inheritance, you're really Lord of all. Now, right here is where I usually teach what I call the Labba Labba lesson. How many of you have heard the Labba Labba lesson? Oh, my goodness. You got to go to www.garycarpenter.org. Now, it's not called the Labba Labba there, and I don't know what it is called, but anyhow, you listen to all of them. You'll get it. There's only 300 and something of them. Don't worry about it. Real quickly, the Labba Labba lesson is this. I'll just do it real quick. A friend of mine, back when I in my college days, he bought a brand spanking new Oldsmobile 442. Now, that is one of those muscle cars. That thing was so powerful, he pulled it up in front of the house where I was living, honked the horn, I saw him in it, and I come walking out on the sidewalk, walking down the sidewalk. Here's that thing sitting there. I mean, it was metallic blue. That thing just sitting there. It's got such a powerful camshaft in it, just sitting idling. The whole car is rocking. And it's sitting there going, lava, 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 lava. I said, oh my God. I drove an old Oldsmobile, by the way. It didn't act like that. So I noticed walking down the sidewalk towards that thing, I could feel tingly coming up into my feet through the sidewalk. That thing had so much power, I could feel it coming through the concrete. I come and I sit down in that thing. And I mean, he says, now in those days, we're talking back in the 60s. Don't let that scare you. He says, nobody in those days wore a seatbelt. Nobody did. By the way, this was the first time I ever saw a car with bucket seats. Don't let that scare you either. Man, I slid into that thing. He says, fasten your seatbelt. What? Fasten your seatbelt. Okay, I'm just sitting there, man, in the smell. You know, like Dave talks about, you want to take a straw and sniff up the dashboard, that new car smell. We're sitting there, lava, 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 lava. I fastened my seatbelt. By the way, for you youngsters, in those days, they didn't have shoulder harness. It just went around your belt. Anyway, so he puts it in gear and idles that thing around, gets out on the highway. We're looking both ways, little asphalt two-lane road there. Now, I mean, he popped the clutch on. He reared it, you know, sitting there, lava, 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 lava. He hits the gas, you know, vroom, pops that clutch. Thank God it had that thing that for your headrest behind the seat. Bam, you know. I mean, I don't think I took a breath for however long we're going. Screech, you know, I mean, the wheels, I could smell smoke from the tires burning. Man, that thing goes, and about that time he shifts gears. It goes again. He finally pulled that thing off, and I'm that's the first time I breathed since he started. I go, what is this? Now, the point of all that is that power? Is that raw power? Now, see, maybe he kept it. Let's just say for teaching purposes that he kept that for the next 30 years, kept it in pristine condition. He wanted to pass that on to his grandson. You know, we have a little grandson over here, it's going to be 3 years old next month. Let's say, like, someone is going to be maybe three, you know. There it is. I mean, that child is really the heir. That 442, you start it up every now and then, see if it still got it. You start it up, lava, 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 lava. Yeah, still got it. All right. That's for my grandson. If he's the heir, there's no doubt about it. It belongs to him. You got the keys in your hand. There comes your grandson. Now, there's just one problem. He's the heir. But as long as he's a child, you cannot hand him the keys to that kind of power. He'll destroy himself and everybody around him. Love will not hand over that kind of power to a child. Now, that's a good illustration, is it not, of this verse? Look at it again. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though really he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. All that really means is the Father's watching. He's watching the maturity level, isn't he? See, now we've all got, listen, Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you didn't get part of the Holy Ghost. You got the whole Holy Ghost, included the power. Now here's the Holy Ghost. Nothing is impossible with Him. Here's Christ on the inside of you, the very nature of God. That's the life He's looking for, to anoint with dominion. All things are possible. The power is there. We're the heir. Gee, I wonder what the problem could be. Now, God, by the gifts, does every now and then hand over the keys for a short time. And you may suddenly, the gift of faith may be on you. And in a situation, doesn't have to be in church, could be anywhere. Suddenly the gift of faith comes, and when that comes, it's impossible for you not to believe. And He might use you in some kind of a miracle. But see, He knows if He leaves that on you and you're a spiritual child, you're a baby, you start thinking you're some kind of hot rod. Pretty soon you'll be selling your prophecies for $100 a piece. Be cutting your shirt up, you know, and selling it for $100 a square. Selling Arkansas river water, telling them it's from the Jordan, as if that would make any difference. So what God does in the... Because he has to heal. I mean, He has to. He wants to heal. His love almost forces it. He wants to heal and bless and use people. He does signs and wonders and miracles. So how does He do it? Through babies. 1 Corinthians tells you He does it by the gifts. But after Paul teaches all that he teaches about the gifts of the Spirit, at the end he says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What do we call the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians? It's the love chapter. And that's where you start conforming to the nature of Christ. That's where you die and He becomes more and more your life. Well, to illustrate this, way back in 1998, I was just praying, minded my own business. And I'll be honest with you. Yes, sir. Quoting my son. Well, I'm always honest with you. At least I try to be. Yes, sir. I don't know if I've done this before. I'm just going to read this. I'm just going to read it. While in prayer today, okay, yes, sir. This is tonight's version of the dreaded yellow pad. Okay? This is tonight's version of the dreaded yellow pad. This one is called Be Not Children. I don't really know if it's at the website or not. But anyway, it says, while in prayer today, I saw an aspect of the Holy Spirit that made me laugh out loud. But then it made me cry bitter tears. For teaching purposes, I saw the vision like this. I saw God the Father and the Lord Jesus speaking to the Holy Spirit in heaven. Both the Father and the Son were sitting on their respective thrones, and the Holy Spirit was standing before them. The conversation went like this. Quote, a new Son of God has been birthed in the earth. His name is Gary Carpenter. He is to have dominion on the earth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go forth and enforce that dominion. I then saw the Holy Spirit come through space and time to where I live. When He arrived and found me, He found a spiritual child, a virtual infant. Now, I was full grown in my body. When I had this vision, I was in my 50s. I'm still in my 50s. So, okay. But what he saw in the Spirit was a virtual infant. Okay. The born-again Spirit within me was new and fresh and pure. But it was the most undeveloped portion of me. I was dominated by the flesh and carnal thinking. I was hardly aware that there was any new spirit within me. Is Cole here? Is he in the building? Come here, Cole. Come to Papa for just a minute, please. Papa needs you. You can come just for a minute. Come here, boy. Come up here, Papa. Now, he's just the right age. He's going to be 3 next month. Now, I want you to visualize. I saw me in the spirit. On the inside, I was about his age. And if you'll picture, like, here's, I'm representing now the Holy Spirit. And in the vision, I saw the Holy Spirit like an adult would try and get down and talk with a child. Let me get this. I saw the Holy Spirit kneel like this. Papa has to have these. Then the Holy Spirit knelt down on one knee and began speaking to the infant within me. And very tenderly he said, I have come from the presence of the Father and the Son to enforce dominion for you on the earth as you carry out the work of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. But you're a child. If you'll allow me to teach you and raise you up and nurture you in the admonition of the Lord, you will grow up into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Just one more minute. You will come to maturity and be changed into the same image as Christ. And as you grow up into His image, I will be able to exercise dominion for you in the earth in His name. Will you let me teach you how to use the power I have come to manifest for you? Say yes. Give Cole a hand. Hallelujah. Didn't he do good? That's precisely pretty much what I saw in the vision. Now, for benefit of the tape, you couldn't see that. Cole is going to be 3 next month. Here I'm full grown. And in this vision, I saw the Holy Spirit kneeling down like that, not to worship or anything, but just like an adult would do to talk to a child. And he said that to me, will you let me teach you how to use the power that I have come to manifest for you? Now, what made me laugh was the sight of this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-holy being, the Holy Spirit, kneeling down to offer a babe training that would eventually culminate in the babe growing up to manhood and commanding the power that is resident within the third member of the Godhead to accomplish kingdom of God business on the earth. It was so obvious that the Holy Spirit had all power, but He had no authority to use it without the grown-up child. The child had all authority, but the power of the Holy Spirit could not be accessed until the child grew up to conform to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit was only authorized to enforce dominion, quote, in the name of Jesus Christ. That meant the child would have to grow up and understand the mind of Christ in order to speak words of authority that would line up with the plans, purposes, and pursuits of Jesus Christ. Now I see that my relationship with the Holy Spirit, I understand it a little more clearly. Truly, I am an heir, but I am also still a child. Although I'm in my 50s, I have no idea what my spiritual age is. At the time, I was guessing perhaps 2, perhaps 3, I don't know. But I do know that the Holy Spirit is desiring above all else that I spend time with Him so He can train me and mold me into the image of Christ. He desperately longs for me to grow up. Did you hear the word desperately? He desperately longs for me to grow up so He can exercise dominion on the earth in the name of Jesus Christ through me. As I learn to follow His training and leadership, I will progressively grow from childhood to manhood and stand up to full stature in the image of Christ. I will then be a son who is ready to participate in the family business. That is, to take my place in, allow me, God and Sons Incorporated on the earth. Nothing is more important than the time I spend with the Holy Spirit to receive this training. Now, it is important to note that the Holy Spirit was not offended by my carnality when He first came to me. He understood that everybody who is born again into the kingdom of God starts off carnally minded. We really have no choice. We were all born again in a carnally minded state. And even when I would yield myself to Him as teacher and sit down in His classroom, with the stench of the world still on me, He was not offended by it. He understood my condition. He was pleased that I came. Stench and all. Don't forget that part. What grieved him was when I chose not to spend time with him. But even when I chose the things of the world over him, now get this. This is included in this same vision. Even when I chose the things of the world over him, he did not leave me. In this vision, no doubt for teaching purposes, I saw him standing off a little distance from me. Seemed to be about 20 feet or so. With his arms folded, simply waiting for the next time I would choose to spend time with him, over spending time in the world. Somehow I knew he would never leave me, nor forsake me. Never. His eyes were always on me, full of love, longing for my fellowship, but never willing to force me against my will to spend time with him. Then the vision continued, and I saw a little further down the corridor of time. I was at the age of about 6 years old. I saw myself with a stick hitting a can in the street while playing. The Holy Spirit was in his customary position, watching me from a short distance away as I amused myself. He began calling for me. Gary, come away with me. Gary, come away with me. Gary, I love you. Come be with me. At first, I could hear him calling me very plainly. But in the vision, I did not acknowledge him at all. I didn't stop what I was doing. I didn't even turn my head in his direction. I heard him. But going with him right then would interfere with the fun I was having at the moment. I liked what I was doing. I liked being a child. I wasn't even sure I wanted to grow up and assume the responsibilities of manhood. I tried to tune out his voice. He was calling for me in the most tender way, but I was determined not to let his voice interfere with my fun. In the vision, the strangest thing took place. I could see me hitting the can in the street, and I could see the Holy Spirit calling to me from a short distance away. His mouth continued to form words, but the sound of his voice began to diminish. It wasn't that he was speaking any more softly than before, but it seemed to me that the volume of the sound itself was diminishing. Finally, I was still hitting the can in the street, and I could see that the Holy Spirit was still calling to me with the same intensity as before, but I could hear his voice no longer. I had become deaf to the voice of the Spirit. At that moment, the vision changed to a panoramic view of the whole earth, as if I were viewing the earth from a very high place. The nations were full of children, all about 6 years old, all of them hitting cans in the street. Here and there would be an adult standing among the children, but the proportion was very small. Perhaps one adult among 50 million children. Who were these adults and why were they so few? And then I knew. Those adults represented the precious few men and women down through the ages of time who yielded their lives sufficiently to the Holy Spirit to bring them to maturity. They are the revivalists of history. They were so few. My heart broke as I watched. The potential for every child of God was so enormous, but their maturity level was so stunted because of the lure of the world. I knew that the vast majority of them would live out their lives and never mature beyond that six-year-old level. The entire world was desperately longing for the dominion that belongs to mature sons of God. But nearly all of God's sons were hitting cans in the street from somewhere close behind me, about 20 feet away. I heard weeping. I wept also. We're coming into a time of change and a time of responsibility and a time of maturity unlike anything that we've seen before. Now I'm telling you one more time, revival is coming. The fast are going faster and the slow are going slower. Tim up here one day when he was teaching, he said, "What about your families? Are they in the faster group or in the slower group?" And I immediately took responsibility. People are watching you. Which group are you going to be in? I do not want to be in the grandstands watching revival. I want to be in the line. I want to be down in the field in the revival. Now, the Holy Spirit's calling for maturity. There is no possibility of the Holy Spirit co-laboring and bringing that power. Yes, it will. There is a possibility. That's what He's had to do in the past. Bringing the power to spiritually immature people. And the whole world has seen the results of that. But what He's after, His mind, again, for these last days, is for a whole group of people. And really, if He had His way, the whole body of Christ, the whole church at large, grow up unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, the Bible says, "In malice be you children, but in your understanding, be men." Thank God for this church and thank God for the message that has come to maturity. Thank God we don't have to hear messages like, "You need to have more faith," and nobody tell us how to get it. Thank God it's no longer, "You need to walk in more love," and nobody tell us how to walk in more love. Thank God it's no longer, "You need to grow up," and not have any idea what to do, how to grow up. I thank God for the message that's come to maturity. We know what to do, church. The lure of the world is strong. You can count on one hand normally in any century the few people that ever make it over into any kind of revival that's beyond the gifts. I was reading again about Smith Wigglesworth today. You read the words that comes out of his mouth, he's talking like a man from another world. And he is a man from another world. Difference is, he found out about it. I was reading the one again where he came to pray for this lady and they met him at the door and said, "You're too..." Now you talk about the mind of Christ and the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit. Came to the door to pray for this lady. They answered the door and said, "Sir, you got here too late. She's already departed." He says, now here's the mind of Christ. He says, "The Lord never sends me anywhere too late. Where have you laid her?" Took him upstairs to the bedroom. There she is, cold and lifeless to the touch. Picks her up out of the bed. Physically picks her up out of the bed. Stands her against the dresser. I think it was one of those, you know, tall ones like they used to have in England, you know, what do they call those things anyway? Armoire type things, the way I picture it. Stands her up there and commands the spirit of death to leave her. Death, leave! And death left. And she goes, and her spirit comes back inside of her. And they fed her, just like Jesus fed the young lady that He raised. They said, "Give her something to eat." But how many of those can you count in any 100-year period? The whole world is full of Christians, 6-year-olds, playing stick-hit-the-can, stickball, I guess they call it, in the streets, I said, Lord, what would be a good example for me to tell about that? And it is the things that you would think, the things that we do to amuse ourselves, you know, just... But he says, worse than that, most of them call it their ministry. And really, from my point of view, they're playing stickball in the street. He said, for you, if you would have kept on with the Bible study when I told you to stop it, at this point, and even if it would have become a church, which it would have, we already had 55 people meeting in our living room, and it was growing all the time. What are you going to do when there's 70? What are you going to do when there's 100? Well, thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. He told me to stop it, and I'm glad I did. But he said if I hadn't have, now it would have developed into a church, and that was not his mind for us. And, you know, he would have blessed it. He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward. That's not what we're talking about. But he says from my point of view, if you'd have stayed there and if you'd have pastored that church until you died, from my point of view, it's okay. I love you. But from my point of view, you're just playing, you're playing with a stick, hitting the cans in the street. You're just doing what you want to do. You're not doing what I called you to do. I'm really not sorry it's so quiet in here. It's really good that he's talking to us like this. I told him Sunday night, and I can't say it any better. I'm just going to tell you. Something's coming. And we're almost there. It's right at the end of June. And I don't know how it's going to manifest. I don't even know if the world is going to call it good or bad. I remember the prophecy that Hagin had about the end of 2006. From heaven's point of view, it's going to open doors that haven't been opened in a long time. But that doesn't necessarily mean the world's going to see it as good news. He's not showing me, but I have, as much as I know that Sue loves me, and that's something on this earth that I really know. I use it because of that. As much as I know that, I know something is coming at the end of June. Mid-year. I don't mean that day, but where something major is about to happen. And depending on your attitude of heart, it's going to jumpstart you over into the fast group. Or with some, it's going to throw you back into the slow group. I wouldn't wait till then. Make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? I remember that old song by Bob Dylan. It might be God. It might be the devil. But you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. Few in here old enough to know what I'm talking about. God's calling us out of the street. By the way, that I've learned more since then. The reason that the Holy Spirit's voice, it's His voice, He didn't shout any less towards me. His intensity trying to get me to come never diminished. But see, when you time and again, on purpose, ignore that voice, you sear your own conscience with a hot iron. In Houston, He showed it to me like this, because we were... That particular calling, that particular meeting was for gospel entrepreneurs and for a real gospel... Yes, sir. Most people who call themselves gospel entrepreneurs are kicking the can. They're doing what... They're following their own mind and asking the Lord to bless it. As long as you're doing that, you're kicking the can in the street. So what you really need is instructions that comes from the Holy Ghost. Because that's the mind of Christ. And the Lord showed it to me in a vision. It says, as if the Holy Spirit, there's a door somewhere on the inside of you where he has access to your mind. And there's a door there. Boy, you want Him to be able to come through. Because you want instructions from the Holy Spirit. You know, like, you can understand that if you're a gospel entrepreneur. You need to know what's going to happen in the market. Trouble is, when in this vision, when I looked towards that door, It was nailed shut with 2x6s and 2x8s, just nailed, all over that door. There was no way on earth that the Holy Spirit could even get through there. But you know why it was nailed shut? What's funny is these people want to hear the instructions that come from Him. But through that same door is where your new nature speaks to you about holiness. Do you remember that song at the beginning of this service? For His name is holy. If you're going to mature into the mind of Christ, your walk changes. You become holy because He is holy. And it happens as a byproduct of spending time with Him. We're not talking about you trying to clean yourself up. We're talking about His nature taking over your whole life. You are holy because He's holy. Big difference. If you want that door to be open, the Holy Spirit speaks to you in the same place within you where your conscience speaks with you. Where He's been dealing with you for years about things that are just no longer acceptable. They're okay for a child, but they're not okay for adults. For me and for you, we better start removing the nails that are holding those boards on that door. And what I mean by that, you want to know your calling. I know you do. You want to know instructions. Yeah. You can't get those and ignore the instructions on holiness. They come through the same door. They come through the same door. How many believe they're going to pray a little more in the Holy Ghost? Now, what was the solution? What was the answer for that vision? Even a child can tell. The solution was to quit doing the little things we're doing, whatever it is, at least a portion of the time. Yield to the Holy Spirit who keeps calling us to come be with Him. And separate ourselves and go be with the Lord. I'm going to remind you again, the prayer center now is open for prayer. If you'd like to come and pray, actually Monday nights, Thursday nights, and Friday nights, from 7 in the evening until 11 o'clock. Monday nights, they're doing choir practice during most of that same time, or about half of that time. And at first I thought that would be a distraction, but it's actually wonderful because you pray a while and then you'll find your hands becoming helium hands. And you'll join in the worship for a while and you go, oh yeah, I came to pray. And you'll pray for a while and then you begin to worship for a while. But especially Friday nights. What is it you're doing on Friday nights that's so important? It's a good time to pray. Now if you come talk to me, we're going to give you the raspberry. I'm going to embarrass you somehow. You need it. You don't need to ask me questions. I have no answers for you that are as important as what the Holy Ghost will give you while you pray. Amen. Wednesday night crowd, you're tough, aren't you? Can you handle it? So it's also, if you're available, some people are available during the day. Tuesday through Friday, the church is open, from, 9:30 to 4. If you want to come down, it's easy to pray here. I mean, you can pray anywhere. There's nothing, quote, magic about praying here. But you'll just find it's easy to pray here. There's no distractions. There's an atmosphere. There's been so much prayer, the walls are saturated with prayer. Personally, I think there's angels posted around here, but I couldn't prove that. All I know is it's real easy to pray here. Well, whether you come here or not, you know and I know the Holy Spirit's been standing about 20 feet away, if you'll allow me. I don't want Him weeping over my life. God, that last part of that was strong, that vision. I heard behind me about 20 feet away. I heard Him weeping. made me weep too? How many of you going to pray a little more? Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your word to us tonight. Father, I don't know what's coming. I just know it's big. And I know it's important for your kingdom. And I know you're trying to separate all who will hear your voice into a group who's going to remain no more children, but grow up into adulthood in Christ. Father, we've all heard your word here tonight. Father, help us. Help us tomorrow morning. Help us during the day. This presence that we feel now, Lord, somehow bring it back again. So we don't just get caught up in the affairs of this world and let another year go by. Father, it's time. It's time, Father, that we be no more children. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody who agrees with that, say amen. Hallelujah.